Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to have you here with us. This is a Communion Sunday, as I'm sure you've gathered as you came through the doors. It may have been the reason why you came here, but some people may have come and not realised that it was Communion. But this table is open to anyone who loves and serves the Lord. So you feel welcome to receive the communion if you belong to another church and are visiting with us this morning. But if you don't wish to take communion, then please pass the bread and the wine to the person beside you. And also, just to let you know, the shortbread is gluten-free, so everybody can eat the same bread. Our children and young people will leave for Tots, Jigsaw and Blast after the second hymn. Tots is just through this door and across the corridor. Jigsaw is in the Rowan Hall and Blast is upstairs in the youth room. This evening there will be a Thanksgiving service at 7 o'clock and I'd encourage as many of you as are able to come out to celebrate and give thanks for this wonderful sacrament that Jesus has given to us. And then that will be followed by a short communion service for anyone who's unable to take communion this morning, maybe the Sunday school teachers as they take classes, or indeed people who maybe don't like to come out in the morning but prefer the quieter evening service. And then one notice that's currently in your notices, it was a last minute decision. We're going to have a night at the movies on Wednesday evening at 5:30. It's a movie called A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood. Tom Hanks is the star and he's been Oscar nominated for it. But he plays Mr. Fred Rogers, who was a TV children's entertainer in the 1960s and 70s in America. But Fred was also an ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church, and the TV was beginning to become a great communication tool, and he saw it as an opportunity to show Christian love and compassion to children. And so this movie is really a little look into his life. So if people would like to come along and join with us, we'll meet in the Omniplex at 5:30 on Wednesday evening. Just so that we can make sure that we have tickets, if you could sign the list in the vestibule and then I'll book the tickets for us. And then after the movie, we're going to come back to the hall. There are a couple of questions that we can discuss together and have some supper to discuss the movie. So I hope that might be something that might appeal to some of you. So anyone's welcome to come to that. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we pray for your blessing on the church in this place. Here may the faithful find salvation and the careless be awakened. Here may the doubting find faith and the anxious be encouraged. Here may the tempted find help and the sorrowful find comfort. Here may the weary find rest and the strong be renewed. Here may the aged find consolation and the young be inspired. Awesome and compassionate God, you have loved us with unfailing, self-giving mercy, but we have not loved you in return. You constantly call us, but we do not listen. You ask us to love, but we walk away from neighbours in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, as you come to us in mercy, we repent in spirit and in truth, admit our sin, and gratefully receive your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We continue in worship as we sing our opening hymn 241, The Lord is King, lift up your voice. Let us... That's okay, Roberta. If the young people would like to come to the front of church, I have some things I'd like to chat to you about. There's plenty of room. Lovely. Right, well, I wonder, do you like to wait for things? No, you don't like to wait. What things might you have to wait for? Anybody, any ideas? Yep. Your birthday, that's a good one. Yes, you might have to wait for your birthday. What other things might you have to wait for? Yep, Josh. Your cake, your birthday cake. I'm waiting and longing for some cake at the minute, yes.
Going to a rugby match.
And that's a very, 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 very difficult one. Is that just an ordinary Omaaki's match or an Ulster game or even an Ireland game? And as you're waiting for that, Charlie, what do you feel like? Cross that it hasn't arrived. What else might you feel? Excitement. Excitement and wondering if your team was going to win and you just can't wait to get there to cheer them on. So waiting sometimes can be a challenging time when we're waiting for cake or something nice to eat and we're really hungry and we have to wait until dinner time because mummy says you're not allowed to have anything until dinner. And you're having to wait and wait and wait for your dinner. And that can be difficult. And sometimes waiting can be great and full of excitement as you're waiting to go to a rugby match. But this morning we are going to look at waiting for our birthdays, which was your very first guess, wasn't it, Robbie? Waiting for our birthdays. Because sometimes people have to wait a long, 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 long time for their birthday, don't they? What, Henry?
I actually really wait for my birthday.
Yes, you're waiting anxiously for your birthday too, and so am I. But can I tell you, I think my birthday might come before some of yours. Yes? Because guess what month my birthday's in?
February,
that's right. My birthday is in February. Any of your birthdays in February? Your birthday's in April, so how many months away is that? Two. February, March, April. So not too far away, Henry. Anybody got a birthday in October? Evie, your birthday's a long way away, isn't it? You have a long time to wait. But way back in September, we decided that we were going to celebrate people's birthdays in the congregation at the turn of every month. And way back in September, I was saying, oh, I can't wait until February. And guess what? It's here. All that anxious waiting has arrived. So I can be the very first one to get something out of the birthday box because it's my birthday this month. And it's my birthday this month and I'm on a diet and it's all chocolate in here. I really want that Galaxy bar, but I'm not going to have it. I'm going to take a little candle instead. So that's my birthday gift. I'm going to ask Emma if you would come up, Emma. Anybody in the congregation, none of the children's birthdays in February, anybody in the congregation have a birthday in February? Put your hand up high. And Emma will take the box there, and I'll take the box here, and we will let you have a little birthday treat. Any February birthdays here? No? Oh, there is, yes. Chloe, you can't hide, dear. Celebrate, celebrate. You're welcome. Any February birthdays? Oh, here we go. Yeah, Alexanders and Harpers. There we go.
Oh, what did I just get?
That's it. Oh, shirt. Lovely. Lovely. Fabulous, Ian. February birthdays are the best. Any other Februarys? Oh, there's loads of February babies. Birdie? I didn't know your birthday was in February. There we go. Brian, oh yes, you're the day before me.
Thank you.
Any Februarys? Derek, you're not far away. You'll not have long to wait.
Yeah.
Any other Februarys? That's great. Thank you, Emma. So isn't it great when your birthday's in February? Maybe not so great for those of you whose birthday was in January or December, for you have a long time to wait. But you know something? It's actually somebody's birthday here today. Just heard it's William Anderson's birthday today. Yeah, yes, well, one, two. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Thank you. Now we're just going to say a little prayer for all those who have a birthday in February, and then it'll be time to go out to Tots and Jigsaw and Blast. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of life. We thank you, Lord, for the day that we were born. We thank you, Lord, for the years that have passed since then. We thank you for the family that we are a part of, and we pray, O Lord, your blessing upon those who celebrate their birthdays this month. May they know love and companionship and support, and may they know the presence of your Holy Spirit with them, not just in this special month of their birth, but right throughout the whole year. We thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing our next hymn, which is hymn 410, It Is a Thing Most Wonderful. Our scripture reading this morning, we move from the book of Genesis that we've been studying for the last number of weeks into the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verses 1 to 12, as we read for us by Isabel Bell. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 61 of the Bibles in the pews. Let us listen to God's word.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you are going to see what I will do to the king. I will force him to let my people go. In fact, I will force him to drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as Almighty God. But I did not make myself known to them by my holy name, the Lord. I also made my covenant with them, promising to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they had lived as foreigners. Now I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians have enslaved, and I have remembered my covenant. So tell the Israelites that I say to them, I am the Lord. I will rescue you and set you free from your slavery to the Egyptians. I will raise my mighty arm to bring terrible punishment upon them, and I will save you. I will make you my own people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God when I set you free from slavery in Egypt. I will bring you to the land that I solemnly promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as your own possession. I am the Lord. Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to him because their spirit had been broken by their cruel slavery. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go and tell the king of Egypt that he must let the Israelites leave his land." But Moses replied, "Even the Israelites will not listen to me, so why should the king? I am such a poor speaker."
Thank you, Isabel. This morning's service is based on proximity, chapter 4. It's a little resource that we're using in January and February this year in church. And it's all about anticipating. Last week I got a video from David Vance from Kapalangwane in Malawi that shows the development that they have made in the prayer house that they're building with the funds that we have raised. So I thought it would be worthwhile showing that to you this morning to see the anticipation. Now, Franklin is speaking in the video. I hope you're going to be able to make him out. But he is speaking with an African accent because he's from Africa. So let's bear with him. Okay.
Dear brothers and sisters of Omar Presbyterian Church, I'm here at the Kapalangwane Prayer House, which is underway, plastering and flooring. I'll get inside and see how the plastering has been done right away from here. You can see these walls. It's well plastered up to the... If you see, that door is the door to the vestry room, which is also completed. The work is done, and this time, any day from today, the contractors will start putting the floor. As you can see, the stones and all these have been done, and tomorrow they will start putting up the floor. I think after putting up the floor, I'll still come back and then get another picture to show the work done on the floor. We thank you so much, our friends. We know how much time you spend. Sometimes you spend sleepless nights looking for funds for the community of Kapalangwane. This is great. May the good Lord be glorified. And we thank you so much, friends, out there in the former Presbyterian Church for the good work that you are doing for the people of Loudoun congregation, in particular the Kapalangwane community. Thank you so much. God bless you for all what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So hopefully you were able to make Franklin out there as he showed us around the Kapalangwane prayer house that is being built. It's a long time in the building. It's taken almost 2 years and may take three in order for it to be completed. But it's an exciting project for the people of Kapalangwane, and they are really keen to see the work finished and the people being able to come and to worship God in their own prayer house. And we hope that there may indeed be a team from First Oma that goes out maybe next summer, and that they will have that opportunity to worship with their brothers and sisters in Christ in Kapalangwane. The two communities, the two churches working together for God and anticipating the good news spreading throughout that area. Waiting is not always easy, but in this case, the waiting is worth it. And in so many cases in life, waiting is good because there's a positive result at the end. Waiting for Christmas, waiting for birthdays, waiting for the birth of a child or a grandchild, waiting for the day that you retire from work, waiting for the keys to your new home. And in a way, that waiting time contributes to the sense of excitement. I have a friend called Karen, and her dad was and is a Presbyterian minister. Karen then went on to marry a chap who was a teacher, and then he also became a minister, and she was a bit disappointed in that because she didn't want her children to be children of the manse, because she found in her childhood that she missed the excitement of looking forward to special things happening. Because in their house, in order to stop the children from being disappointed if things didn't happen, they never told them that they were going to be doing anything. So they weren't told that they were going to go to visit their aunt, or they weren't told they were going to go to the cinema on Saturday, or they weren't told that they were going to go to their cousin's birthday party. They weren't even told about going away for the weekend or for a short break. The reason being that the build-up to the excitement, the mum and dad thought that if something happened in the congregation and the minister, the dad, wasn't able to get away, the children would be disappointed, so they chose not to tell them so that they wouldn't disappoint them. But Karen noticed that all her other friends were always looking forward to things, looking forward to getting away to see family, looking forward to going on holidays, looking forward to going to see that movie. And she missed that build-up and that sense of anticipation and excitement. So although she now is the wife of the manse, she is choosing to encourage her children and to let them experience that sense of excitement. And yes, sometimes that has to be cancelled if there's a particular situation that they're unable to leave, or maybe she just goes ahead with the children and dad misses out on the experience. But you can see there that we take a lot for granted, don't we, that sense of expectation and excitement and the build-up to something good. And that makes the event even more special. But sometimes a period of waiting is not a pleasant experience. Sometimes it can be a very difficult one, maybe a long and problematic pregnancy, maybe waiting to see if someone will pull through a serious illness, maybe waiting on examination results to see if you're going to get into that college or university, waiting for that opportunity for promotion. Waiting can be a difficult, a challenging, and a relentless time. It can also be soul-destroying, heartbreaking, and wearisome. And that's exactly the situation that we find the children of Israel in our Exodus 6 reading. They are a people whose souls are weary, whose hearts are broken, and whose hope is almost gone. No longer are they the welcomed newcomers in the land of Egypt under the rule of a Pharaoh who set their brother Joseph in charge of the nation. They were now resented, despised, ill-treated slaves to a new Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph and who couldn't care less about the people of Israel. They were in a dark place where life was tough, laboring to build the Egyptian empire, the pyramids, the statues, the palaces. Yet in the back of their minds, they clung to the words of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord was going to make them into a great nation. He would bless them and give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet here they were in abject slavery. They hadn't even enough bread and water to feed their families, never mind living in a land flowing with milk and honey. They were under the tyranny of Egypt, and their situation was dire. Here we see not life that is good, but life that is very bad. Here we see not the Garden of Eden, but the misery of hell. Here we see not a people who are fulfilled and free, but a people who are enslaved and empty. Here we see not life in all its fullness, but life in all its turmoil. Here we see the consequences of turning from our good and perfect God to listen to the lies and deceptions of the serpent. Here we see life lived out under the tyranny and the rule of Satan, rather than the love and mercy of God. Whilst we might not be in such dire circumstances, we all experience times in our lives when the consequences of living in a fallen world fall heavily upon our shoulders, where the tyranny of Satan has us feeling browbeaten and helpless, where life seems unfair and hope absent. I don't need to name those situations. You've all been there to some extent or another. Personal tragedies, illnesses, national disasters, war, famine, bereavement. Situations of our own making and situations that arise through no fault of ours. What are we to do in these situations? Where are we to turn? Whose help should we seek? Children of Israel, in their abject poverty and in their desperate need, turned to their God and cried out for help. They cried for deliverance. Did they expect help to come? Maybe, maybe not. But they cried out anyway. And God heard those cries. He said, "I have heard the people's groanings, Moses. I have listened to them." Isn't that amazing? That the Lord God, the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, hears the moans and the cries of his created people. He heard the prayers of those broken and fallen people. The people who had turned away from him and chosen to follow their own destiny. The people who had ended up in a dark and desolate place. And God hears our cries today. No matter how dark or desolate our lives might be, no matter how far we may have traveled from God, no matter how deep we might have fallen into sin, no matter how hopeless or how helpless our lives might be, our God hears our cries. Why? Because he created us and he made us in his image, and he loves us with an everlasting love. So no matter how far we may have traveled from him, he will always hear our cries. Psalm 109 tells us, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you are there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So the Lord hears the cries of his people. And he hears our cries too. So if you are struggling this morning, if you feel weak, if you feel helpless, then know that the Lord hears your cries. And he will respond with his love and his compassion, with his deliverance and with his forgiveness, if you will turn and call to him. How can we be sure of this? Because of who God is. He is a God who is faithful and true. He is a God who remembers his covenant and who keeps his word. When the children of Israel's cries fell on the Lord's ears, he heard them. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. That covenant promised to give his people hope and a future, that he would be their God and that they would be his people. God did not break that side of the covenant, a covenant made between two people. God didn't break the covenant. We broke the covenant. But even in breaking that covenant, God still was faithful towards us. And he will not walk away from us. Even if we've walked away, even if we've fallen into sin, even if we've failed to keep our side of the covenant, God will keep his side. The strength of that covenant of love is not dependent on our ability to keep it, but dependent on the God who made it and who offers it to his people. We are weak. He is strong. We are faithless. He is faithful. We are sinful. He is holy. We are forgetful. He remembers. He will always forgive when we turn to him in repentance. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. He heard their cries. He remembered his covenant, and he promised to deliver them. He said to Moses, "I am the Lord your God. I will rescue you and set you free from your slavery. I will make you my own people, and I will be your God." God renewed his promise to his covenant people, and he promised them a deliverer. And that deliverer was Moses. Moses was 80 years of age before God sent him to be Israel's deliverer. He had to wait until old age before commencing the job he was born to do. Prince Charles should take a leaf out of Moses' book. Sometimes we have to wait a long time before the Lord's purposes come to fruition in our lives. Moses was no great statesman. He felt weak. He felt inadequate. He had a bad stammer. But he was God's choice. And he responded in obedience to God's call to deliver the people from the tyranny of Pharaoh. Why did Moses go if he was feeling weak and inadequate and helpless? He went because God promised to go with him, that he would be there as he led and guided the people out of slavery and into the promised land. Moses wasn't having to do this on his own strength, but under the strength and the authority of God himself. And of course, we all know the outcome of that story. We've all studied it at Sunday school and maybe even read it since. The children of Israel were freed from slavery. God was faithful to his promise. Pharaoh's rule over them ended, demonstrating that God is ultimately the one in control. Yes, they had to wait for years and suffer the tyranny of Pharaoh, but in that waiting, God was at work in the hearts of his people, bringing them back to himself. As they waited in the midst of the trials, they remembered the promises of God and turned to him, and he sent a deliverer. If you know your scriptures, you know that the same thing happens again and again and again with the children of Israel. And it happens again and again and again with us. We find ourselves under the rule of a tyrant, subject to suffering and trials, often due to our failure to keep covenant promise to God. But every time we turn back to God, he remembers. He hears our cry. He remembers his covenant. And he sends us deliverance. In the midst of the waiting and the suffering and the sin, God is at work, waiting for the right time and the right place to send our deliverer. Ultimately, that deliverer from sin and from the tyranny of Satan was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not only to be the deliverer of the children of Israel, but also the Savior bearing their punishment for sin through his death on the cross at Calvary. This wonderful Savior was not just a Savior for the children of Israel. He was and is the Savior of the world, the Savior of all people and of all nations. The salvation and the deliverance that Jesus offers is for all people in every place and at every time. Today, we gather together to remember the deliverance which Jesus has achieved for us through his death on the cross. When we take the bread and when we drink the wine, we remember his body broken and his blood shed for the sins of the world. We are thankful for God's covenant mercy and love towards us, and we are grateful for the salvation that we find in him. We are thankful to know that in Christ our sins have been forgiven. The tyranny and the rule of Satan over our lives has ended, but we are still in that period of waiting. We are still in that period of waiting and anticipation for the day when the Lord will return to rule and reign in all his glory. We might ask, as Christians down through the centuries have asked, why do we still have to wait? Why do we have to live in a world that's still affected by the sin and the suffering? Because God loves the whole world, not just you, not just me. He wants all people to have the opportunity to turn to him in repentance and in saving faith. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." So as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as people who've been delivered from the tyranny of Satan, we do wait in eager anticipation for that day when the Lord will come to rule and reign. But in the waiting, God is at work, bringing the light of Christ into places of darkness and sorrow in this world. How does he do that? Through our lives. As we seek to live for him in this world, as we seek to show the love of Christ and to declare the hope that he has to offer to all people. And as we wait, we remember that the Lord hears the cries of his people. He will remember his promises to us, and he will be at work bringing about our deliverance and the deliverance of the world. And so we say this morning, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Your offerings to the work and witness of Christ's people in this place will now be received. Creator God, we give you thanks for the wonder and the beauty of creation. We thank you, Lord, that even in our sinful state, that you chose to send a deliverer, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour and to restore that wonderful creation once again. So we pray, O Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and minds and souls, that you would encourage us in service of you, in this church, in our families, and in our communities. So we pray that you would take these, our offerings and our lives, and use them to declare the deliverance and the salvation that is offered through faith in Jesus Christ, not just to us, but to the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing our next hymn, which is hymn 385, Jesus, the Joy of Loving Hearts.
Thank you.
Come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed. Come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. The Lord has prepared a table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and who desire to live in obedience to him, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. As a sign of our unity and as a declaration of our faith, we're going to stand together now and recite the words of that ancient Apostles' Creed. The words will appear on the screen or can be found on page 378 of your hymn books. Let us stand and declare our faith in God and in Jesus our Saviour. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us listen to the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're going to pray now using the words of a 4th century liturgy used in the ancient city of Alexandria in Egypt. Let us pray. We acclaim you, Holy God, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Almighty God, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our Saviour, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived as one of us, yet was without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners, freedom. To the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, God sent the Holy Spirit, God's first gift for all who believe, to complete God's work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. Holy God, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. We give thanks to you and to our Saviour Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So take, eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this remembering him. This cup is a new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. And as a sign of our unity together and faith in Jesus Christ, we'll turn to one another and give one another the right hand of fellowship and worship and ask for the peace of Christ to be with us. Christ be with you. Let us come again before God in prayer. Loving, glorious, gracious God, you have fed us at your table. In your mercy, you have nourished us, and we are grateful. This day, in this time and place, we connect through the centuries with the Church everlasting, those who before us broke bread and took the cup. Help us now, as we leave this place, to continue the work of your Church, to practice the communion of saints, and with hearts and souls refreshed, to seek to do your will. Help us now that we have been fed, to feed those who are hungry, invite in the stranger, and visit the imprisoned. You have met us where we are, O Lord, and filled our needs yet again. May we do the same for all of your children. May we leave this place to love abundantly. May we love you with all our hearts. May we love our neighbours as ourselves. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We bring this service of communion to a close as we sing that wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. It's not actually in our hymn books, so the words will appear on the screen.
Thank you.
And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.